This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Not so long ago, Americana was the term for rusty milk jugs, embroidered pillows, and souvenir spoon collections found at antique stores. In the mid-1990s, it became the nickname for the rootsy, twangy, weather-beaten music of bands like Uncle Tupelo and Alison Krauss, and the rebooted career of a man who embodies rebellion against the country music establishment, Mr. Johnny Cash.
Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers. 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom.
Americana revived the hand-tuned sound of an America that was, and the musical legacies of Woody Guthrie, the Carter family, and others. The genre thrived among boomers and those to the left of the real America celebrated by conservatives. Giovanni Russinello is editor of CapitalBop.com and a regular contributor to Jazz Times and NPR Music. In a recent article for The Atlantic, Giovanni chided the Americana industry for playing it safe creatively and for being stuck in the myth of America as a small-town, predominantly white culture. We spoke to him about his article called Why is a Music Genre Called Americana So Overwhelmingly White and Male? We asked him about its appeal to boomers. It is, after all, disparagingly called dad rock.
You've got this music that openly acknowledges that it appeals to dads more than sons, saying this is America. It's about living salt of the earth, being on the frontier maybe, or living in a small town, living that sort of glorified, romanticized American existence where the struggles are familiar but still poignant. Things like losing your girlfriend and losing your pickup truck and sort of hanging out at the bar and drowning your sorrows. Things that are real and have always been real. But the way that they get defined has a real undeniable stroke of nostalgia to it. It really does appeal strongly to people who are in their middle age or older and people who have some sort of connection or feel as though they would like to have some sort of connection with those, like, good old days.
Yeah, well, you just called it nostalgic, but in your article you call it a fantasy soundtrack for the country. A little bit stronger. What in your mind is the fiction?
So to first of all use the word Americana, which lop off a couple letters and you've just got America. That puts an onus on, I think, the people who are going to label an entire art form to represent America in some way, or at least be aware of how they are representing America. So when you've got this music that is essentially claiming we are Americana, we're going to take that and we're going to basically say this music represents a beautiful type of America that we almost wish could be our America, right? There's a very aspirational nostalgia to it.
What does that America look like? I mean, in contemporary country, we have songs about red Solo cups and chewing tobacco. Americana, not so much.
Exactly. And in contemporary indie rock, we have stories of living in a certain way in the city, you know, wondering about the lassitude of living in the suburbs. In contemporary R&B, we've got a lot of stories of struggling with listlessness and love in the digital age. We've got things that really represent the fact that this America has been changed dramatically by information technology and by new methods of music making. So what's interesting to me is that Americana sort of holds out. It's like, you know, the last true believer on deck, sort of this ship.
Let's hear from some Americana stalwarts. Here's a little bit of Wilco, Ryan Adams, Gillian Welch, Lucinda Williams, and the big-selling collaborators Alison Krauss and Robert Plant.
Somebody said they saw me swinging the world by the tail, bouncing over a white cloud, killing the blue. One day we're young, and by the next one we're old, despite the
just a country boy that combed his hair, put on a shirt his mother made, and it went on the air. We're gonna go for a ride, car wheels on a gravel road. Car wheels on a gravel road. Car wheels on a gravel road.
We're on our mountain bed of leaves. We learn life's reason why.
The thing about genres and about taste is that they, in and of themselves, are exclusive, you know, and subjective. And a genre is never supposed to appeal to an entire world. It's supposed to appeal to a particular demographic that might identify with the experiences of or the symbolisms of its performers. So for us to suggest that any genre owes it to the world to represent and speak to everyone, probably not doable. But how can you name yourself after an entire country if you're not going to do that
right.
at the same time? So that's the inherent contradiction that I see here. And it's interesting because there is a huge amount of America that's not represented and whose experiences have very little to do with the America in Americana. I think all populations of color, by and large, are left out of the idea of the small town, or at least were left out of those small towns and those communities when they were real. I just think that often we get a little lost in terms of how far society has moved forward from the 1950s when we listen to these songs.
We're speaking with Giovanni Russinello. He's a writer and a frequent contributor to Jazz Times and NPR Music. He wrote an article on theatlantic.com, "Why is a music genre called Americana so overwhelmingly white and male?" Let's listen to Jason Isbell. He's now on top of the Americana charts.
She tend to bar in town. Her alto settled me down. So I started hanging around. Didn't need much to say.
So Jason Isbell, a young buck, he's got a lot of street cred as a former member of the Drive-By Truckers, but I can't help but think that he's going for an old-school sound. I mean, who does sing songs about cigarettes anymore? Do we have trouble believing him?
Sure. I think he's just very cogently and concertedly trying to couch himself in an old light. He wants his voice to sound older than it is. He's only, I think, in his 30s. He wants the guitar to sort of bring back the dust on the road. It sounds to me like he's interested in having us envision a very, very classic young, I think she's identified as bartending, small town girl. To me, it encompasses an entire mentality of where we are going ought to be where we're from.
Who in the genre do you think is upholding this kind of reinventive, exploratory feeling of early American roots music? Who's doing that?
This is something that the guy whose picture is posted on top of the article understood, Bob Dylan. As soon as you start to really apply those roots to yourself in a way that allows you to go anywhere that you so desire and not feel as though you're being watched by your elders or your ancestors, at that point, you abandon the genre. And that's what Dylan did in 1965 when he was basically the heir apparent to every great folk musician in American history, according to some people. He just, without really much thinking about it, went off in a completely different direction. And he was still blending blues, and he was still blending country, and he was still blending other Appalachian folk musics, but he was doing it in a completely different way, and one that sounded like nothing that had ever been played before, and it used a lot of electric guitar, and it scared a lot of people. So I think there are musicians these days who have the same impulse, which is, okay, I want to play Americana-influenced music, but I don't want to be constrained by what came before. I think Wilco is probably an amazing example. Ever since the late 90s, they've been breaking out and making music that, I don't know, it just floats around in a headspace that you feel came directly from Jeff Tweedy, the lead singer, and his experience today in America.
Well, let's hear a little bit of Wilco. This is War on War. Now, this is from the early 2000s from Yankee Foxtrot Hotel.
It's a war on war. It's a war on war. It's a war on war. There's a war on. You're gonna lose. You have to lose.
So by sort of throwing light on what doesn't apply and what is out of place today, this music, it helps us stop sort of deceiving ourselves. We're not deluding ourselves into thinking, oh, this is always going to be how America or folktales work. But we are saying, oh, this loss, this confusion of romance, this sort of oppression, whatever it may be they're singing about, has a broader applicability. It's just not necessarily the same as it was.
Giovanni Russinello, editor of CapitalBop.com and a regular contributor to Jazz Times and NPR Music. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Stay with us for a seat at a weekly happy hour hosted in Portland, Maine, at an assisted living facility. That story, when word of mouth continues.